Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Glory. Let's go ahead and sing Near the Cross. Amen. 205. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There's a precious fountain free to all, a healing stream. Amen. Let's all stand. We're going to take up the offering. Brother Thomas, could you come this evening?
Let's pray. Dear Lord, please bless the tithes and offerings, Lord. Please bless the deacons and ministers, Lord. Please bless the church prayer requests and everything else, Lord. Please bless Brother Manuel as he prepares to minister unto us, Lord. Just thank for everything. Just now pray. Amen.
Let's sing us a beautiful Star of Bethlehem, and then we're going to change over the service. Amen. Oh, beautiful Star of Bethlehem, shining afar through shadows dim, giving a light for those have long, and guiding the wise men on their way unto the place where Jesus lay. Roger Snipes is a very close friend. He's been to the Cheese Husband. He's having to have open heart surgery. And he's having one bypass, I believe it is. But lift him up. It'd be after the first of the year. And I just pray that he has the faith that I had, knowing that if he lays you down, he's going to raise you up. And I believe that even that last time, I believe he's going to raise me one more time. Let's change over the service. Holy words, blown preserved for our walk in this world. We resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the word of God impart. Words of life, words.
Y'all, while we're standing, we're going to continue singing that On Cloudy Day song. If you can help me, sister.
Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the sky. Oh, they tell me of a home.
If you have your Bibles, you can go to Genesis 32. Praise the Lord. We'll be in verses 24 and 25 to start off with. Thank you, brothers. God bless you all, musicians. Mine. What an atmosphere, brothers. Thank you so much for coming in and bringing your lake of fire and helping create an atmosphere for God's word to be imparting it us. Amen. Today, title, we have a limping prince. A limping prince. And Genesis 32, verses 24 and 25. And we have a subtitle, Wrestling with the Angel of the Lord. Amen. So here's Genesis 32. Let me go back to my scripture here. Give me a minute here. Let me pull that up from here. All right, so in Genesis 32, we have, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw the angel, that he prevailed not against him, Jacob, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Amen. You may have your seats. Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless this service, that you would continue to bless the word that would unfold to us. I pray so much, Father, that these special words of life will bring exactly what you call them out to bring, Father, to bring forth life. We thank you for it, and I just ask, Father, that our eyes will be clearly open and our ears clearly, Father, receive the distinct message that you have for us in this age, I pray. In the precious and the mighty name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So going back to Genesis 32 and verses 22 to 23 we have here. This is Jacob now, and he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two woman servants. Now, note this, and his 11 sons. So ask yourselves, who was there? If I do my math right, I believe there was a Joseph there. If you look back in Genesis 30, we find out that Joseph was born. Joseph was already born at this time. So think about it. Put that into perspective. The lineage was already there, but there still had to be a wrestle that had to happen. Before he wrestled, Joseph was already on the scene. Not through Esau. Isn't that amazing? And passed over the Ford Habbok, which was an area around Jordan as I studied it. And he took them and sent them over the brook. We'll find out that it's Jordan. And sent them over that. Sent over that he had. We'll find out later that he sent over all that he had with them. And Jacob was left. Excuse me, this is that verse one in there. And Jacob was left alone. So that was the prefix of what happened. And there, in that position where we're all by ourselves, when we'll find out what had happened before, there wrestled a man. Notice how it starts that the man wrestled with Jacob first, with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, against Jacob, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Notice this. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he sent unto him, he said unto him, what is thy name? The angel asked him, what is thy name? And he said, deceiver. Jacob. His old identity, right? Surplanter. Jacob is my name. So notice, this is a fight about a name. This is a fight about a blessing. This is a fight about a birthright. Birthright. And notice what the meaning here is about names. What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name, you couldn't find that name in the book. He said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with man, and hast prevailed, past tense. Amen. All that came with Israel. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. Reveal to me thy name, O angel of the Lord. Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And there's silence, there's quiet. It's a personal revelation to you personally of Jesus Christ. And he blessed him there, under that situation, under that circumstance, under that visitation, under that night, under that break of day. Amen. All these things have a symbol, brother, and this is what we're going to hone in. So have your Bibles there in Genesis 32. We won't be jumping all over the place. We'll be talking about what happened before that, what happened after that, and all that it means. I remember the first time I read this concept of a man wrestling. And now it's here, it starts by saying a man wrestled with Jacob. And then we find out later that it was more than a man, right? And in verse 30, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. He had a name change. This is all about names here. For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. This is something really significant that happened to Jacob. And as he passed over Penuel, different pronunciation there, note that the sun rose, the S-O-N rises over you, upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. He started walking different. Therefore, the children of Israel eat not the sinew, which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, unto this day, because he, the angel, touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. So note this. Jacob deceived Esau. Then look at the progression. Then we have, he is then deceived by Laban, his father-in-law. 10 times he's changed his wages. He had to work 7 years for one, gave him the wrong one. He worked another 7 years, worked another 6 years for his cattle. So 20 years. 20 years. He took 20 years to be deceived himself so that he can think on his ways. Then he flees from deceit. He turns away from deceit from Laban. Now Laban comes after him. Then they make a deal. They raise a place and they say, okay, you stay over here, I stay over here. But then something interesting happened is Jacob, he calls on God. And we'll see it here in the scriptures. He repents from deceiving Esau. So then he seeks forgiveness for deceiving. He asks for forgiveness. And notice here, going back to the same chapter in verse 6. And the messengers that Jacob had sent out returned to Jacob saying, we came to thy brother Esau, you know, what it represents. And he also cometh to meet thee. Your past is after you, your sin, your deceit, the effects of the deceit, and whom you deceit had come after thee, and 400 men with him. His past was attacking him. His whole life was before him. His name, that's who he was. So then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. And I believe that's the position that we have to go through to be able to not want our life anymore. And he divided the people that was with him. So his people, look at this, what happened. And the flocks and the herds and the camels into two bands. Look at all that is going on behind the scenes. So, and said, verse 8, and said, if Esau, this is him, right? If Esau come to me, the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. So this was serious business. This is not just like, oh, I'm having a little trouble, you know, here and there. This is his life's struggle. This is his past coming to hunt him. So then, and Jacob in verse 9 said, "Oh God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saith unto me," he started meditating on his ways, "return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal with well with thee. I am not worthy." He's still talking to him, right? He's still calling on God. "I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies and of all the truth," no longer deceit, "which thou hast showed me, or showed unto thy servant, for with my staff I passed over this Jordan." Isn't that an interesting illustration there? "And now I am become two bands." But look what he prays. "Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my past, my brother, my own nature, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children." So notice the background here of what had happened before he goes into that night. "As I thought of my ways," Brother Branham says, "there might be many in here tonight is thinking about going home. Old age is catching up with you. Sickness has caught you in a grip. Better think on your ways before you get there." And as Jacob, on his way with his wife and his children and heard a message coming that Esau with a great army, it was 400 men, was coming to meet him, and he began to think on his ways, the way he had done Esau, cheated him. And it drove him to prayer all night long. He wrestled with that angel of the Lord. And I trust tonight that men and women, boys and girls who has neglected the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So see what we're after here? You don't know how near you are to home. I trust you'll put purpose in your heart that you will wrestle with the angel of the Lord and not let go until you're blessed, until it happens, until what Jacob needed, what we need happens. And it's relating here to not neglecting the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So keep that in mind. So talk about a name change here just briefly. So in Revelation 2:17, we have we'll come back to this here in a minute. So we have Adam, right? He called his name Eve because it was the woman. But he called his name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Just what comes along with names. We see Abraham in the Old Testament, Abraham being Abraham, Sarai being Sarah, Jacob being Israel, prince with God. Just a few examples. In the New Testament, we see Saul, Paul, Simon, becoming, you know, a rock, Peter or Cephas. But look at this in Revelation 2:17, white stone with a new name in it given to the overcomer. And how it reads is, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone." A revelation, right? "And in that stone, a new name written, which no man knoweth except or saving he that receiveth it." It's a personal revelation of Jesus Christ to you, to me personally. Amen. So the birthright. I had a question about the birthright. This was just burning on my heart. And I said, so when did it happen? We know what happened with Esau. And the red potash and the lentils and so forth when the transaction happened. But is that really when he received it? In other words, I have a question for you. Did Jacob receive the birthright by deceit? Which is that's the flesh, right? That's a fruit of the flesh. So I was really meditating on that. It was just really pondering about it. Because, you know, we know that they sold, they did a transaction, they did a deal. It's like, oh, you're about to die, so what do you need it for? You know, I got some red pottage, and here we go. Did he really, was he really changed then? Or did it, you see the question there? Something did happen. He went after it. It showed a desire that he had in his heart since he was a baby, right? He was after the heel. And we got to be careful not to look for good things in the wrong way, in the wrong approach. It's good to be blessed. It's good to be a saved, be walking in a sanctification, receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But it's got to come God's provided way. Or did the birthright come by repenting, believing, wrestling, receiving a new name, receiving the consequence in himself, the touch? You know, the consequence that now is affecting his life forever, how he walks, thinks, and goes about. The real change, right? That night, that breaking of the day. In Genesis 25, we see, and Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same bread pottage, for I am faint." Now, he had a name change too. Therefore was his name called Edom. Faint is pretty near to, like, a death word. You'll find out that he himself said it. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die. And what did, and it says, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?" So he said, "I'm Edom. I'm about to die. I'm faint." Apparently, every time they say a name, they usually, when they say because of this, therefore, what's his name called? Edom. Because he said, I'm faint. It describes the name. Now notice here, there's three events really. It just came to me, actually, the one I was missing. Because I knew that the wrestling had a lot more to do with this blessing, right? But in here, it's not a whole lot of deceit that happened here. He's basically, one's despising it, the other one's just taking advantage of it. But of course, when the deceit happened was when the mother got together and he wanted to get the blessing from the father in the carnal way. Now that was deceit right there. So see, the order of events here. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point of to die. I'm Edom, right? I'm faint. And what profit shall this birthright do to me?" See, no faith, no hope, no aspiration. That's when Abraham, he had hope against hope. I've been there before. I remember being to the point where I was physically dying, but I was building a house. I was building for the future. I was studying for whatever the Lord will help me teach. But I was dying. See, you have to have that. You have to have that little pilot light burning in you, at least if you don't have the full fire going on. And Jacob said that. And then in 33, and Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he sweared unto him. And he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink. And he rose up, and he went his way. He went his own way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. So, you know, what we find here, when Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord, so after the blessing came that courage, that purpose. Look at the definition that he was given for his name. He said, "Because as a prince, you have power with God and man." And have not noticed that, and man. So when he basically became someone who was a prince, as a prince, that who has power with God and man. So he was empowered. He received the power. The dunamis, right? To face your past with divine resolution. It's a thought that came to me that
it wasn't when he sold it, and it wasn't when he asked the Father to bless him, you know, in a deceitful way. He really still had to pay the consequences of that deceit for 20 years. I wrote it in the Bible. I think it's the verse, the chapter before 31 of Genesis. It describes how that went on. That he numbered them. He said 20 years. He said 7 plus another 7 plus 6. And then there was still no letting go. And he saw that Laban was coming after him. Even more, he said that his countenance was not the same as it had been before. And then here is Esau coming after him, all adding up to him, all catching up to him. So Jacob going from a deceiver, sort of planter, just carnal, right, to being a prince with God. But it didn't come easy. We're going to walk through this. It didn't come easy. It left a scar on him. It left a mark on him. And we all can identify with that. I remember thinking how supernatural it seems for a man to wrestle with the angel of the Lord. And in the scriptures we found later, we find where he says that he's when he says, give me a minute. When he said, for I have seen God, for I have seen God. So he went, it's saying a man, and then for I have seen God, and I know Brother Branham in all the message quotes, he calls it out, the angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord. And here, when my redeemeth liveth, he says, and then when Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob died way down in Egypt, way away from his land, he was a crippled man. He walked different what he used to walk, because one night, now we're going to read about that one night a lot, he come in contact with the angel of God, and the Lord touched his hip and made him walk different. He had an evidence. I have an evidence, brothers and sisters. I actually have, because God does something in when he changes your name, when he gives you the baptism of the Holy Ghost, as we saw. And that he had been a hold of God, and God had been a hold of him. And that's the way. Now, if you really think about it, they exchange names, right? They talk about Jacob. No, you're not Jacob. You are Israel. And let me tell you who I am. When I was studying that kind of opened up to me that he said, and he blessed him there. When he says, what's your name? I pray thee. And he just says, and he blessed him there. He was asking for his name. What do you bless him with? And it says, and he had an evidence. And that's the way when he's got that evidence, that old crippled hip that he walked on there, making him walk straight. Isn't that a paradox? An old crippled hip that walk on there in the natural, but making him walk straight supernaturally with the things of the Lord. It is a paradox, brothers. And, you know, and that's where it's fitting where Brother Branham said, you know, that the bride is the ones that battle the sick, you know, with sickness the most, the sickest, you know, body in earth. Because in one way, we're very healthy, brothers, but in another way, you know, we struggle a lot, right? And that's, we battle a lot, I should say, with the consequences. But that's what drove us to have the courage to wrestle and repent, really, from our old name and get the new name. That's how it happened. So one side, a great boaster, a great, well, what he was really called, he was a deceiver. It was called a deceiver. The very word Jacob means deceiver. And when he was on this side, a deceiver, look at this, a great, healthy, strong deceiver. How many can remember how, you know, I remember what it was like to be a great, healthy, strong, you know, sinner, a deceiver. And a lot of times I question myself, it's like, well, how come I was healthier back then? You know, in the natural, in the humanity. And it's humbling, brother. It's humbling because at least that's how it came to me, is this birthright didn't come cheap to me. It come with a lot of suffering. And on the other side, a limping prince, the title of the sermon, that had been with God, touched, different, had that blessing, that blessed hope with him, within him. He walked different. He acted different. He lived different. Now, that carnal believer today in this other message, oh, as long as I go to church and do what's right, and what difference does it make? That's the Esau group. He still makes fun and despises the birthright. He doesn't care for it, but Jacob loved it. Loved it. Loved that birthright. And the spiritual man today, the spiritual woman that's elected, predestinated of God to come to eternal life, if they have to sell everything they got, that's your path too. Don't you think money-wise? If they had to forsake everything, right? If they had to take their name, listen to this, off of every church book in the nation, they still want that birthright. Hey, I'll take my old name out of anywhere. I don't want my own name, my own deceiver name. It's the only thing that matters to them. Just get that birthright. Get that name change. Get that baptism of the Holy Ghost that Brother Branham said, woman, man, boy, girl, do not neglect to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He does, and then, where we left off, get the birthright, that's all. Hearing, recognizing, acting on the word of God, the title of the message. No matter how, what level they have to come on, if they have to get down at the altar and cry, boo-hoo, if they have to run through the places and go back, no, this one hurts, and go back and make things right, what did Jacob do? He had to go back and make things right. You know, after he got sick of being deceived for 20 years, he said, you know what, this really does affect, you know, on the other end. I'm so sorry. I think he had it for 20 years. And now he said, you know, Esau, I'm sorry I deceived you. And he had to go make things right. And see, but this, that group, the Jacob group, would do this and sell what they got or give it away, everything they had, and become a pilgrim and a stranger. It doesn't matter. They want the birthright. That's all they're interested in, the birthright. Now, don't blame them people. They can't help it. They were predestinated to that, elected to it, from night to day. So, you know, I remember actually one physical night when I actually had to do this, where I had to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. I had to make my own calling and election sure. I was saved. I had been going through the process of sanctification, which is the work of the Holy Ghost too. But I do remember pleading the Lord, right, for the birthright. Because faith comes by hearing, and hear the word of God. And I was hearing his open book, his message for this day. And it was calling me. It was drawing me as a magnet. It was a deep calling to a deep. And you know, it's coming about you. It's coming to do. And there's always a... There's always extremes where people say, you know, you don't have to do anything. All you have to do is surrender. Or some people that say, you know, you got to do everything. That's also wrong. But what we did see here, Jacob had activity going on. Jacob just didn't go and say, hey, look, let's go duke it out, or let's go have a fight with the angel of the Lord, and just, you know, let's go get a blessing. He already had tried it all different ways, so he had to go through all these things that we saw. We had to go through BDC for 20 years and all that. He had to have a journey to come to this place where he was ready for it. But that one night, I remember it myself, like physically, literally praying through and breaking through all night and just not letting go until the break of day and asking the Lord for that blessing. But you know what that night represents too? Because it's not just one physical, literal day too. It just means your night. It means... all that you have to go through those 20 years and having to be, I mean, to the point where you had to like leave and flee. But look what he did. He fleed. I just realized that. He fleed Laban. He fleed him being deceived. But he went straight. He went straight to try to make things right in his past. So you know that the Lord had been orchestrating all that and working through it. just like Moses, you know, he had to have all his years to take Egypt out. In this case, Jacob had to have all his 20 years to get, you know, his own name reflected in the mirror towards him. From night to day. Jacob, one night, Brother Branham speaking in convinced, then concerned, you know, he had left Laban. And he was on his road over. The desire come in his heart to visit his homeland. And now we find out that he was afraid. He wasn't. He was afraid to meet his brother. So see how it happened right quick? And he, to meet his brother. So he went down to business. Before he crossed Jordan and prayed all night. And he wrestled with the Lord, wrestled all night. Oh, he said, I'll not let you go like that. Hold on to him, right? Stay all night with him. The 20 years plus whatever it took for him. Stay all night. It could be a literal night too, where you have to, or day, where you have to just go on with the Lord and make, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling and go through what you got to make right and clean your past. And he wrestled with the Lord all night. And the angel said, it's coming daylight. I must leave. He said, I'll just not let you go. I want something in me that's different. Look at the desire. Look, I didn't realize how much Jacob had changed after 20 years of his own mirror in front of him. I want something in me that'll change me. In me that'll change me. What a picture. And you notice, as soon as the Lord blessed him, the blessing that he asked for, he was ready then to cross the river and go see his brother. That's what I was saying, is that once you go through this, now you can go face with a divine resolution, your past. Your old life, your deceitful ways, your everything that, I mean, sometimes we're out there and been in sin so long that you don't realize how is it all going to work out together for good? It's just too much. You've done too bad, too much for too long. 20 years. Jacob, he said, I want something in me that'll change me. And you notice, as soon as the Lord blessed him, the blessing that he asked for, he was ready then to cross the river and go see his brother. See why? He wrestled all night. He stayed with God all night long and wrestled with God. Now, if he just said, hey, leave me alone now, I'm tired. See? Now, Esau said, I'm faint. I'm Edom. Why would I need this? I'm about to die. Remember, hope against hope. The blessing would have never come. See? He'd never been there. See? But he stayed all night. See? He wrestled with him all night, then was ready to go meet his brother. The next morning. What a transformation, brother. What a conversion. In Spanish, I like this verse. It's Isaiah 8:20. It says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them. Now, that word, no light in them, means it's because the breaking of day has not dawned upon them. You see, this happened to Jacob. This happened to many of you. This happened to me, where, yeah, it was night. Yeah, it was for Jacob 20 years of being deceived so that he could finally come to the place of repentance. And genuinely, for the same thing, he was being deceived. It wasn't like somebody was out there battling or something. No, see how the Lord deals with us? Those things we did, we got to see the fruits of them from the other side. And that hurts, brother. I don't know about you. When the Lord deals with you precisely with what you need so that you can come and be brought genuinely to a place of repentance. Then you don't need mama, daddy, uncle, pastor. Then you are ready yourself when that break of day comes. They were fighting. They were saying, no, I got to go because it's the break of day. So I'm not going to let you go. Give me my blessing to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. It speaks about it as a dawn morning light. It's because there's been no break, the day breaking in us. In 2 Peter 1:10 here, we're going to wrap it up here shortly. It says, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence. I saw Jacob giving diligence. The Lord, and he said, suddenly a desire came upon him. You know, he really repented to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. I think you got to give diligence and you got to make your neighbor's calling and election sure. It says your calling and election sure, firm. Philippians, we find, and that very tongue, excuse me, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's pretty good fitting to the illustration we saw. He took the steps, brother. I mean, of course, it's the Lord that saves us, not by works, but by grace, and that we're saved by faith through Jesus Christ. But he did have to go through it. He had to go through repentance. It cannot be a fake repentance. Simply put, that you would have not even had an audience with the angel of the Lord for a whole night so that he can tell you who you were and your name and tell you, that's not your name anymore. This is your name. Oh, and by the way, this is my name. This is my blessing to you. Hallelujah, man. So it says, for, verse 13, it is God which worketh in you. See, this is what happened to Jacob. It is God which worketh in you. Two things, both to will, to remember that desire that came upon him, and then to do of his good pleasure. That was not at the work of Jacob. That was not a work of a deceiver going out there and asking for forgiveness. That desire, he worked two things. He put a desire on it, and then he actually helped them to do his good pleasure. The faith that was won delivered to the saints. Just some of these titles, right? Just the titles alone. But what was the difference with Jacob? Jacob had the recompense to God. Had recompense to God. That birthright. Is that right? A perfect type. Somebody say, well, no, here's a good man. He goes to church. He goes every Sunday. He's a good prayer in the church. He belongs to the best church in the city. He educates his children. He does all. That's very fine. That's a good citizen. But, brother, that has nothing to do with Christianity. Not a thing. You go to church, have your name on every book, every church book there is in Palm Beach or Florida. That's if you're having the wrong name, right? If you're having Jacob in there. It'll never do you one bit of good, although the preacher can half-mast the flag and say you went to heaven. But except you're born again, you're lost. The Lamb's Book of Life. Look at that title. Look at Esau and Jacob. Why? Esau was twice as good a good guy as Jacob. Look at that. Esau was twice as good a guy as Jacob. Sure, he was. But Jacob had one thing. He had recompense to the reward. He seen that birthright. He counted it the greatest thing on earth. I was wondering, where did he see it? All right, go back a little bit. This is Jacob. Who is his father? It was not Ishmael. So he's seen that battle. He's seen, he heard stories. He knew his dad. He had an example of his father. He had an Isaac. He's seen the birthright in action. It came to me earlier this night when I was reading. I was like, a great thing on earth. He's seen that birthright? Well, where did he see it? I questioned that, and then Holy Spirit just taught me, who was his father? Isaac, and then there was Abraham too. So he's seen the struggles. He's heard the testimonies, And I'll share a testimony here about someone else, actually, but it was related to me. And Jacob was mama's boy, little old sissified storyteller. That's what he was. You have to admit it. I mean, the Bible admits, brings it, run around, doing everything, and mama hanging around with mama. But yet, Jacob, with all his ups and downs, his sissified ways, he still had respect to that birthright. That's the keynote. Amen. Esau was twice the gentleman of Jacob. If we had to judge him today to be a member of our church, you'll take Esau 1,000 to 1 if you didn't know him. But God took Jacob. What would you do? Excuse me, he says, what would you do with St. Paul if he wanted to be a minister? It says here, a little old hooked nosed Jew. And his mouth setting sideways, going along just fussing, and how he's going to tear out the church. He's going to do everything. You thought he had committed the unpardonable sin. But God said, he's my servant. What a mystery, brothers. Amen. I mean, these are the only things that we just depend as like a get out of jail free card. Because he had to deal treacherously with Paul to be able to go through his conversion. He had to have his time where he had to go in, shave his head, and he had to go through it too. And he went in there and he separated himself for all that time to come to terms. I mean, he was blinded, right, for once. And the different things that happened to him, and then later beaten and all that. So, I mean, yeah. I mean, the unbeliever is the unbeliever, right? The part of you, the sin, the deceiver part of you. We know that, you know, some of us outwardly have more scars than others. But, man, look at the picture here of St. Paul. I said, what would you do with him? But God said, he's my servant. You would have thought he had committed the unpardonable sin. Help us, Lord. As I thought on my ways, when the angel of the Lord touched Jacob, he walked different from there on out. He was a big, fine, running coward on one side, but a limping prince on the other side of the brook. You walk different. You think different. He wasn't afraid to meet Esau then because he had wrestled with the angel. Think on your ways. What an advice. So we'll summarize here. What we've been teaching now. So Jacob deceives. We saw that he made the deal. And then later on, he deceives his father. He said, I mean, can you imagine how much thought had to go into that? It's like deliberate. It's like in law, right? They have, like, when there's an accident or somebody ends up, like, shooting or killing somebody by defense or so, they always want to say what the intent was, if there was possible intent. And there's a big difference if you were just walking around and somebody comes at you and you just shoot at them because, you know, you felt threatened. Then when they can prove that you went out to go do that, it was an intentional act. He intentionally put on those, fixings to make himself be hairy and smell a certain way and deceive his father to his face. His father, I mean, everyone around, his mother and his brother. I mean, he deceived everyone. He is then deceived by Laban. He flees from deceit from Laban. After 20 years, then he calls on God and he repents for deceiving Esau and he seeks for forgiveness for deceiving. But look what happens then. Then he wrestles with the angel of the Lord. He prevails because it says that he prevailed not against him, the angel. He did not prevail against Jacob. He receives the touch in his thigh. I mean, how many can remember having a consequence in your own life? Sometimes in your spiritual life. In your spirit, there's a scar, or sometimes physically, there's a scar, or in your mind, there's a scar. And it reminds me of essentially being governed. Like, you know, the old cars, you used to step on the gas, and they would just only go to a certain amount, but they're governed, right? That's how it feels sometimes. You have that still in you if you wrestle the Lord, because you had a touch. I don't know everybody's testimony, but I know, I'll speak for me and for Jacob here, that I remember that, and I've had consequences. I have the recompense, and it's a gentle reminder. It's a gentle reminder. Sometimes it's not gentle, brother. Come on. Sometimes have you ever thought about Jacob? Here he comes, Jacob, and then the next. So he's meeting Esau, but it's like he's walking. You know, because maybe it was the next morning, and we hadn't thought about the fact that he had the touch in his hip, in his tendon, and has shrunk. And just think about how it all happened. A repentant man. He's my servant, he said, about Saul, about in that. So he prevails. He receives the touch in his thigh. He then receives his name change, which was, as a prince, you have power with God and with man. And then he receives the blessing. He says, you're not Jacob. You're not a deceiver. Now you've repented. Now this is your name. And he says, I pray, tell me your name. And he blessed them there. Jesus Christ, personal revelation to you. Amen. Then he was reconciled, right? So think about it from a staff that he used with Laban in the years of deceit. Figuratively speaking, he had a staff that he had to go work with, right? And then he said, by this staff, I crossed the river Jordan. But then that staff became his walking sticks, brother. Now you have a prince with a cane. He's kind of doing this. And like I love how Brother Branham said, it's a paradox because physically he was walking crooked, but he said that old cripple man hip made him walk straight. So don't tell me that gentle pain reminder you got, or sometimes, like I said, more than gentle. It's a reminder that, boy, let's keep in line. Let's keep straight, right? And I want to share a testimony. I was with my wife and children. We were at a restaurant in downtown, in our town, and we were eating breakfast. Everything was fine. It was just a beautiful Saturday morning. We were enjoying our time. All was well. And then at the very end just comes somebody from the back. I hadn't seen him. He just comes back to me, just taps my back and says, hey, you have a beautiful family. And then this man looked like, in the natural, he would have nothing to do with me because he looked like not like me in status of where he is alive, and just he looked like he could have been a sheriff, or just looked completely different than me. And at first I didn't get to see him because he just said, hey man, you know, you have a beautiful family. He complimented it with such a love. It wasn't one of those like I'm jealous of you, or he didn't say it with any external motives, and he just said, you have a beautiful family. And then I felt blessed. And he walked around, and I started talking to my wife. And I said, did you see that guy? But I could only see very little because he just tapped me and goes right along. And then I said, there's something different about that guy. I told her, there's something different about that guy. And then he pays. You know, you can see the tables are here, so you couldn't see a whole lot of action. And he starts walking over here. And as soon as he comes to my sight where I can see him walking, he was doing this. And it seemed like an old veteran or old sheriff, old policeman who's walking like that. And he had a very clear-cut cripple in his walk. And it brought me to tears because I told my wife, I knew it. I knew it. You know, character just doesn't come by like that. You see, this is a man that was able to recognize a blessing. And that's because, like Jacob, right? He went through those 20 years of being deceived. So then he can be able to say, this is what I did to my brother. Flee deceit. Fled Laban and went straight. And that night, he said, when he just heard that, now Esau's coming, that night is when he made it right with the Lord. And again, it wasn't when he gave him the red pottage that he received the birthright. That's when he made that transaction, right? And that's when Esau despised it. And he said he had another name. He said, I'm Edom. Yeah, I'm faint. That's my name. What would I need it? I'm about to die. No hope against hope. And it went from there to then he outrightly deceived his dad, his father, you know, asking for the blessing. But that didn't give him a birthright either. He went straight to go work for 20 years and be deceived. Then he was in a position to ask for forgiveness. Then he called on the Lord that night. Then he was blessed of the Lord with Israel. Remember, he had his 11 children. He said it. So Joseph was already on the scene. That to me struck me. It says, hey, he took his two wives, his two woman servants, and 11 sons. Amen. So he was already working in the background. And I just wanted to really say, brothers, that I believe that we're left with the remark. We're left with the scar. We're left with something when we, I think the Lord very precisely dealt with Jacob, because he gave him really out of his own medicine, right? He said, oh, you deceived, so feel what it's like to be deceived for 20 years. And like I said, he didn't try him with something else. He didn't try him with things that were outside of whatever he did. He said, this is what you did. See the effect of it. And that's how he had his testimony. That's how he had his conversion. He really cried out. He went through the process, as we saw, of getting that name change, of getting that blessing, working for that birthright. And Brother Brandon typified it. That birthright is being born again. It is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It is, it says, don't neglect it. Boy, woman, children, man, receive the blessing the Lord has for you. Musicians, if you can come up. I wanted to sing a song that's very fitting to what we heard here. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you, brothers. Brothers in the back, if you could put the lyrics to I Would Not Be Denied. Sister, was it C? Yeah. Days of old, I wrestled
courage bold. I stood upon his word. I would not be denied. I would not be denied. Till Jesus came and made me whole. I would
sing "It's Only Jesus Can Satisfy the Soul" this evening as we get prepared to leave. Amen. The world will try to satisfy that longing in your soul. You may search the wide world, but you will be just as change your heart and make you whole. He'll give you peace you never knew, sweet love and joy and heaven too. For only Jesus can satisfy your soul. If you could have the fame and fortune, all the wealth you could obtain, yet you have not Christ within, your living here would be in vain. There'll come a time when change shall call you. Just cannot help you then, so run to Jesus, only He can satisfy. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul, and only He can change your So you come up and dismiss us with prayer.
Praise the Lord. Let's just bow our heads. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father, for the opportunity to have come, Father, to hear your word, Lord. I pray, Lord God Almighty, that these words, Father God, that were spoken, Lord, that they may be Heavenly Father, more than just words to us, Lord God, but they may be a life, Lord Jesus. Because, Father God, your word, Lord, can make us sometimes walk, Father God, and humble us, Lord Jesus, like you humbled Jacob, Lord. And I pray, Father, that every word, Father God, that was spoken today, Lord, and the life of Jacob, Lord Jesus. May it be a reflection, Father God, unto our lives, Lord Jesus, that we need more and more of you, Lord. No matter how old we are, no matter how young we are, Lord God, we need that true experience that can only come from you, Father. I pray, Lord, that you give strength to Brother Manuel. We appreciate, Lord God, him giving himself over to you, Lord God, so that you could use his lips, Lord. Lord, bless your people now on the way back home. Just thank you, Father God, for giving us another opportunity to be here, Lord. It was good to say that it was good to be in the house of the Lord. Bring us back safely, Father God, on Sunday to worship you in spirit and in truth and to feast upon your word. We love you and we thank you, Father. We ask these things now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.